Welcome back to the Charlotte Angel Connection, the Charlotte area podcast linking entrepreneurs, investors, and the broader Charlotte community. As you know, our goal here is to interview the individuals who are building, shaping, and influencing entrepreneurship in the Charlotte region so you can stay invested in Charlotte's growth. Today, we are very fortunate to have Jami Nizrala rejoin us, follow-up to our interview from last week. As you'll remember, she is the director of Miami and Charlotte for Venture for America. Last week in our podcast, we talked a lot about who the fellow was, how you recruited them, how they're brought in, what are the benefits to them, what is the training to them, who's maybe the ideal candidate to be a fellow. We talked about why even Jami would have preferred to have maybe have been a fellow back in 2005. Today, or in today's podcast, I wanted to flip that and focus a little bit on the company, but I think we can probably all get the benefit to the company fairly quickly. And I want to talk about the community benefit and then what the community needs to rally or how the community can rally around it as well. So first of all, as I ramble, thanks for sticking around with us.
And thank you for having me back.
So with that, we talked, we talked a lot in the first episode of the benefits to the fellows and who they are. And there's two other players here, the companies that hire them, and the city at large. So let's start off talking about the company, because I think it's a shorter conversation, and then that allows us to talk about the community on the back end. What do the companies get out of hiring a BFA fellow?
So the company gets a fellow that has been highly vetted through VFA, and somebody who's been put through some training, and also somebody that we've already kind of selected because of his or her interest in entrepreneurship and sort of willingness to really commit themselves to that. So I think companies could very well do this on their own, but it would be, one, really expensive. We're flying all over the country to kind of scout out for these fellows, and two, really time-consuming. The typical startup doesn't have the time to run recruiting in campuses across the country the way that like a big bank would. So I think first and foremost, being able to make that process more efficient and, you know, do one national recruiting and selection process to benefit however many startups is kind of like a key part of our value proposition. And then I think number two is also the quality of the talent. We do in some ways marketing for these cities. We're going around to school campuses all over the country and getting kids excited about moving to Detroit and Baltimore and Charlotte and Miami. And, you know, those cities are great, but I think they're often not the standard place to end up in if you went to a Northeastern school and have no ties to that city to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. So how long has VFA been in Charlotte, and where would it like to be in the next 2 to 3 years?
So we started out in Charlotte back in 2015 with a really small class of two fellows. One of them is still here. She's great. She's Nikki. I believe you may have interviewed her before.
That is correct, yes.
And then another one is still working at DealCloud, which was his original placement, Max Haskin. But he was promoted, and he's over in New Jersey.
Okay.
So, we still consider him a fellow. He's still very much supportive of VFA and an active VFA alum. But he grew within his company, and it made more sense for him to be out in New Jersey.
So he was a successful candidate.
He was, yeah. Yes.
It just happens that DealCloud has a footprint here in New York, and
exactly.
They felt it was better off in New York.
Yeah.
So.
And we had eight fellows back in 2016, and we just welcomed another class of eight fellows.
Okay. So you're at eight this year, and the goal for 2018 would be
I would say
eight to ten more? Or?
I would say probably something more like 10 to 12.
Okay.
And that's going to depend, obviously, on the kinds of relationships that we continue to strengthen and build in Charlotte and the kind of support that we get from the local community. But, you know, we love Charlotte, and we definitely feel that Charlotte has shown a lot of love for us, and that makes it easier to run the program.
So that's a great point for us to pivot our conversation. What are you looking for in companies? Four fellows. What's the right mix? It's not Bank of America.
No, although Bank of America has supported us in other ways.
We do love Bank of America.
We also love,
yes,
Bank of America.
Yes.
So I think first and foremost, what we care about is a role and making sure, you know, when we say startup, yes, the majority of our companies are startups. They've been around for maybe like 5 years. They have maybe like 10 people that are part of their team. So there's like a number of parameters that would normally describe a startup. And that's sort of like the sweet spot of the types of companies that we build relationships with. But we also have companies, like in Miami, for example, Volta Capital, that is kind of like an investment company, but also like launches like digital product brands. And the particular role that our fellow has there is to literally launch a product and like figure out everything related to how to sell that product online. So that role is super entrepreneurial, and I think we put a tremendous emphasis on that and making sure that the experience itself is entrepreneurial. Because you can also go to a startup and answer the phone all day. You're not really learning how to be an entrepreneur.
So you're looking for, you know, a startup role of 5 to maybe 15 people or more, but probably more so a role that fits an entrepreneur spirit.
Exactly. And a lot of the times, you know, that means that the fellow is going to receive mentorship, he or she's going to have access to the company leadership. The role itself is lends itself to growing professionally. So whether it's like business development or sales, or there's a range of different roles that you could do. I think it's more around the culture of the company and the willingness to nurture that entrepreneurial spirit and making sure that the startup founders and the leadership of the company is sort of mission aligned with VFA.
Okay. How many companies, so Baltimore is a great example, right? Baltimore's got 50 fellows right now, give or take. So how many companies in Baltimore are hiring fellows?
I'm actually not sure about the exact number of companies in Baltimore, but if we have 50 fellows there, we probably have something around like 35 to 40 companies.
Okay.
And I hate to guess. I can probably give you a more specific answer if my colleague Josh were here, who is the community director for Baltimore.
Guessing is great. we like the guess.
But it's an educated guess.
Yeah.
So I think one of the cool things about VFA is that once a company hires a fellow, they kind of start seeing the value of the program and they come back for more. And when I mean more, I mean like 2 and 4 fellows at a time.
Yep.
We actually had to cap it at 4 to make sure that no single company was getting too many fellows.
Gotcha.
So in any of these cities where we have something like 50 fellows, you know, you can kind of do the math, and we probably have around 35 company partners or maybe like 30.
So how many company partners do we have in Charlotte?
So in Charlotte, we have 6 company partners this year.
Okay.
But historically, I think it's closer to around 12.
Okay. So Baltimore is not drastically different from Charlotte in terms of size or anything else. It's a little bit colder. People can come across as a little bit more rude, but other than that, I mean, it's a similar type city. How do they end up with 35 or 40 partner companies and we end up with 6? What can we do? What can the community do to increase that?
That's a great question. So I run Miami and Charlotte, and as a result, I often find myself comparing the cities, and there's a lot to compare and contrast between Miami and Charlotte and also among all of our VFA cities.
We're nicer.
Well, culturally, there's always a lot of things to compare and contrast, but even just like entrepreneurial ecosystems, the kinds of companies that set up shop, the culture of companies themselves, the leadership, how invested the community is in this kind of program. So I think where I was going with that is basically that cities are really different, but in terms of how successful they are as VFA cities, I think it's a function of a number of factors in what I've seen in my short 5 months at VFA. But one of them is how long they've been around as a VFA city. So obviously cities that have been around longer have had a chance to build deeper relationships.
Absolutely.
Number 2, the number of viable company partners that are in the city. And also companies that can afford to hire VFA fellows, because although we think of it as a really great value proposition, there are some, you know, there are some startups that just can barely hire more than 1 or 2 people.
And correct.
We call them like solopreneurs.
Yeah, I get
it. they're really not built to be hiring fellows yet. And that's fine. You know, they'll eventually get there. Maybe it's just not the right business model for VFA. But I think maybe first and also there's a positive virtuous cycle where once a city gets over like a little hump and actually becomes a place where a lot of fellows exist, that tends to have like a, what do they call it, an exponential effect.
Yes.
Because suddenly people are aware that this is actually a real thing, and then the next year, instead of having 15, you have like 25 fellows. And that, a great example of that is Miami, where we went from having 8 fellows last year to 15 fellows this year.
Okay.
And I think that was a combination of our team, and this was slightly before my time, so I can't take too much credit for it, but it was a combination of the team in New York being like, we're going to build out more company partnerships in Miami, we're going to hold a job fair in Miami. And it was also like the Knight Foundation in Miami was like, we're going to invest in VFA and we're going to give you guys, you know, the resources that you need to make sure that this happens. And resources comes in, you know, the form of financial support, introductions to company partners, making sure that we're visible and known in the community. And all of those are things that can really change your program from being 2 fellows to being 15 fellows.
So that's kind of staying on the two-pronged approach, but you mentioned this, so I want to talk about it for a few minutes. The Knight Foundation with their financial support. What do you mean?
So I mean they provide a grant okay. so that we as a nonprofit can operate.
So VFA is a nonprofit.
Yep.
And it costs money to bring, I mean, you take them up to Providence, Rhode Island, you train them for 5 weeks, you provide them with resources, you're here to help facilitate things. It is an organization that requires money to continue to run,
yep.
but you're a nonprofit, so you need corporate sponsorships, grants, money.
That's right.
So Miami seems to have had a good past year. What does Charlotte need to do from a financial standpoint to support the VFA program?
I mean, and I don't want to underestimate, Charlotte has also had a good year. We're just newer to the
yes.
scene than Miami is. And here we've also gotten support from the Knight Foundation. We've gotten support from the City of Charlotte, from the Reemprise Fund and Foundation for the Carolinas. We have a really strong local advisory board that has made a lot of really great introductions on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
We also charge our company partners a small placement fee. So in some ways, growing our partnerships is also another revenue stream. But so I think Charlotte is doing all the right things, and
yes.
it's just a matter of making sure that we continue to do them, and you know that we can strengthen the relationships that we've already built.
How much financial support does it take to bring a fellow on board?
So the cost per fellow is $30,000 to $35,000 in terms of like that's what it costs VFA from point A to through the fellowship.
Okay.
So the recruiting, the selection, putting on the selection dates, putting on the job fairs, doing the 5-week training camp, continuing to provide resources while they're on the ground, building the relationships with the companies, building the online portals that enable all of these things to happen more seamlessly.
So Charlotte hired 8 fellows this year. It costs roughly $200,000 to $250,000 for VFA to run them through the 2-year training program.
That's right.
Exclusive or in addition to the $38,000 starting salary that that the fellows are getting themselves.
Yeah.
So net cost to hire a fellow is $75,000. The company's paying 40 of it in salary, and VFA is pulling the fair share the other way.
Yep.
So how can companies get involved aside from hiring, which we'll swing back to in a
yep.
second? If somebody's sitting in there, or all the people that are sitting in their car right now saying that they want to support VFA, how do they get involved as a company sponsor or other mechanism to contribute?
So I think there are different ways. As a startup, you can get involved by hiring a VFA fellow or telling your other entrepreneur friends about VFA
yes.
so that they can hire fellows through us. If you come from a more established organization, like a big bank or a consulting firm or even just like a big corporate, you can get involved through corporate sponsorship. Sometimes that takes the form of sponsoring specific events. So, for example, we held a selection day in Charlotte earlier this year, and we had some sponsorships from the Knight Foundation and the City of Charlotte and Foundation for the Carolinas. And that's actually really important because we depend on those, or the existence of that local support makes it more likely that we'll choose to do these things in a city. So when I said the whole thing about virtuous cycle, I think that it also extends to the support that we see in each of our cities. So because we did that in Charlotte, I think that's part of the reason why they hired a community director that is more devoted to Charlotte rather than running the program remotely completely from New York.
Yes.
So I think all of these things kind of like build on themselves. And so if you're part of a big corporation and you're trying to figure out a good way to spend, your corporate social responsibility dollars or good initiatives and partnerships to do in the community, I think VFA can be a great way to do that.
Okay.
And I think our fellows also have a lot to offer themselves. Even if you can't provide financial support, there's so much more that you can do. Some of our community directors do community collectives where they host like a lunch or they host a breakfast or a happy hour, and they choose like one topic that our fellows really want to learn about. So maybe it's something like, talent in the works, how to get like talent to a city, or like how to do marketing, like a digital marketing topic. I mean, there's a range of different topics that they would be interested in hearing about. And what they're providing there is just their expertise and their mentorship.
Okay.
And I think in many ways that can be, really, really helpful in making sure that the fellows feel connected to the community and that they feel that they have the resources that they need to start a company in that community.
So in other words, if all you're driving in right now listening realizes that VFA fellows would benefit from a session on the legal aspects of LLC versus S-Corp versus C-Corp,
exactly.
wanted to host something, can reach out locally, and, you know, conduct that either through breakfast or lunch or dinner or something like that, right?
Yep, that's a great example. And sometimes it's not even your time. So I'm glad you mentioned lawyers, because selection days are really big endeavors. They're like the last round of interviews that we do for our fellows, and we engage something like 30 to 40 local judges, and we fly in 60 to 80 candidates to the fellowship to a particular city. So it's great exposure for a city. And one of the biggest challenges we have is not just how to fund this, but where to do it, because that's a lot of people to cram into one space for a day. And law firms tend to be perfect places to do that, because they have a lot of conference rooms. So okay. Even just like lending us your space can sometimes make a big difference.
Fair enough. So lawyers driving in and they want to lend you space, or they want to lend space for, you know, for that purpose or any other purpose, what's the best place for them to go for contact information, or do they email you directly, which I'll include in the show notes so that people have access to? What's the best way for them to get involved on that side of things?
I would say the best way is to get in touch with me. Okay. And if you just want to learn a little bit about BFA before or after you get in touch with me, just reach out to one of our fellows.
Okay.
I can also put you in touch with one of them. But they're our best marketing tools, and they can tell the story of BFA probably way better than I can, and from a much different and more entertaining perspective.
Yeah. So circle back around. So community support comes in the form of mentorship. It comes in the form of financial contribution. Again, there's a $200,000 gap that, I guess, in theory is being funneled down through national sponsors right
That's
now,
right.
But ideally we'd like to have each community support itself.
Yes.
So community support comes in the forms of mentorship, kind of programs, and then financial support and commitment. Is that essentially what you're looking for out of a successful community?
I think so. I mean, it's almost hard to encapsulate in a few words or description like what forms a successful community, but I think you pretty much hit on all the major points. I don't know how I would, if there's a great term for me to capture introductions and like the willingness to be a connector, I guess, and just like facilitating introductions to other members of the community, because I think that means that you're not just helping us with whatever you can provide, but you're also making sure that the rest of the community is invested in BFA.
Yes.
And that leads to like really crazy and like cool things sometimes. It also leads to like more company partners. Sometimes our fellows, you know, they work at startups, so working at a startup is not what you do if you want a stable job. So some of them find themselves in transition halfway through their fellowship, and having that support where it's like, well, we have these relationships with people that love the program, but maybe don't know exactly what they need to do. Sometimes you don't even understand the value of that until later on. It's like, oh, hey, this fellow is now looking for a marketing position, like maybe you can hire them, or you know somebody who can. So just kind of like being willing to do that.
Okay.
And to connect us to more local supporters.
Perfect. So what do we do to get more companies how do we get from 6 to 15 to 30? Is that an aspect of Charlotte as a startup ecosystem in and of itself is relatively young, or do we just need those more introductions because there's more startups in Charlotte that we just don't know about? The company sponsors that we have, or the companies that are hiring the fellows right now, are fantastic. I mean, DealCloud, you know, QC FinTech, VersaMe, you know, great companies have stepped in. How do we replicate those successes?
I think it's a combination of different factors. I do think that some of these entrepreneurial ecosystems, it's not that they don't have enough startups, it's that they don't have enough maybe roles that can support BFA fellows. So that's one part. Another part is the program itself nationally, because we're in 18 cities, we want to make sure that none of our cities get short-shifted. So we wouldn't necessarily want to send 30 fellows to Charlotte next year if it means that like a Providence is going to have zero fellows.
Yeah.
Or another city is not going to get any fellows. So we also try to be even-handed in that way. But I think it's a combination of things. And I also think that sometimes the timing is difficult. So even though the fellows are there and the startups are there, the whole timing of like making sure that the two meet at the right time can be quite a dance. Because imagine like having, you're not just hiring based on your company's business needs, you're hiring based on BFA's timetable,
yeah.
Which means that in January, you're hiring for somebody who's going to start in August or September, and that just doesn't really fit the business needs of a lot of the companies that we establish relationships with.
Fair enough, that makes sense. So somebody that's three people going to the fourth, it's a lot harder for them to fit. but the 10th going to the 11th oftentimes can be a little bit easier.
Yep. I mean, it's even, so a great example is a company in Miami that hired a fellow, and we, our fellows, one of the requirements for the program is that they go through our startup boot camp, training camp we call it. But they had this really important account that they wanted the fellow to take over, and in order to do that, he needed to start in May. And training camp doesn't start till June and July. So he actually ended up working for close to 2 months, then taking a break, going to training camp, and then going back to the startup. So there are some creative solutions to these issues, but I think it really depends on the disposition and the business needs of the company, whether something like that can work.
Okay. Well, perfect. No, this has been great, very helpful. It addresses the company issue, it addresses the community issue. I try to ask as good questions as I can. Are there things that I didn't talk about from those two perspectives, from a company perspective or from a community perspective, that would be good for listeners to know about? Or do you feel kind of like I do, where we touched base on a good foundational level of it?
I think you covered the important parts of it. I think in a city like Charlotte, where there is a community director, me, but I don't live here, I think one thing that maybe I can't overstate is how important it is to have like local champions and making sure that people are talking about VFA. Because from my perspective, when I get here, I'm talking to VFA fellows, I'm talking to our local advisory board, and I'm meeting new companies and new supporters and funders. But I don't have that day-to-day interactions with the community to really know how much of a name VFA is in Charlotte the way that I do, for example, in Miami, which is where I live. And I think, you know, most of our VFA cities don't have a community director. So I think that's the case for the majority of the cities,
Absolutely.
Even though hopefully that's going to change going forward. But I think as a result, it's really important to just be a champion for us and make sure that people know who we are. I think that would solve that gap you were talking about earlier in terms of, like, bringing more fellows here, is like more companies know about us, more companies hire through VFA.
Okay. Well, fantastic. Thanks so much for your time. I enjoyed getting to know you, and then even more about Mission for America, and I know the listeners will appreciate it as well.
Great, thank you for having me. This was fun.
William Bissett is an investment advisor representative with Seacrest Blakey & Associates, a registered investment advisor. Opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of Seacrest Blakey & Associates. The topics discussed and opinions given are not intended to address the specific needs of any listener. Seacrest Blakey & Associates also does not offer legal or tax advice. Listeners are encouraged to discuss their financial needs with the appropriate professional regarding your individual circumstance. Investments herein described may be speculative and may involve a substantial risk of loss. Interest may be offered only to persons who qualify as accredited investors under the Securities Act and a qualified purchaser as defined in Section 2A, 51A under the Company Act, or an eligible employee of the management company. There generally is no public market for the interest. Prospective investors should particularly note that many factors affect performance, including changes in market conditions and interest rates, and other economic, political, or financial developments. Past performance is not and should not be construed as indicative of future results.